battle with the strength of my own hand. You're the mountain mover, and only you can. I won't build my life on sinking sand. You're my hope forever, the rock where I stand.
I will win this battle with the strength of my own.
It's already been done. You can't add to his blood. It was once for all. The Father gave his Son. Forever we are changed by the miracle of grace. Throughout history, the Father's light.
Good morning, Harvest Time. So glad to have you with us. Who's ready to worship the Lord this morning? All right, we're going to start out with a word of prayer. So just center yourself and open yourself up to God. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the ability to worship you. Father, we come before you this morning in your church. We are your church, even though we're separate, even though we're just watching on live stream. We're still united through you. So, Father, we pray right now that you would do something great through this time of worship, through this message, that you would incline our ear to listen to you. Father, there is fullness of joy in your presence. And I ask that we would feel that love during this time. In Jesus' name, Amen.
You are good. for your power that crushes every fear, Father.
Father, you free us. You free us, and you deliver us from the hand of the fowler, Lord. You protect us, because we are your children, your beloved children. Thank you, Father.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Chosen me.
are a good, good Father, and you will not withhold your blessing. So Lord, right now, in this moment, we lift our hands and we receive everything that you want to pour out on us. You're a Father who wants to gift us new blessings, new authority, new wisdom, new joy for this season, new equipment. Father, we receive all of it, everything that you want to give. We receive the intimacy that you want us to have with you. Lord, we receive your blessing. Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Sing amen.
Oh,
Sing this with me. Sing, the Lord bless you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Caleb. Thank you, Kayla. Thank you, youth worship team. You did an awesome job leading us this morning. God bless you, everybody. Good morning. If you have your Bibles or you have your Bible apps, we want to invite you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Going to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about help in troubled times. Help in troubled times. We're glad that you have joined us online for worship today. We're sorry that we can't all be together here in the sanctuary this morning. This last week, one of our students tested positive for COVID after attending our youth group on Wednesday evening. The student was not symptomatic. The student was wearing a mask the entire evening, and social distancing guidelines were followed. But out of an abundance of caution, we felt that the responsible thing to do was to wait the recommended 14-day period to be sure that no one that was here in the building on Wednesday evening was affected. So we will be online this Sunday. We will be online again next Sunday. And then we'll resume live worship in the sanctuary on Sunday, August the 9th. We did receive the very good news that all of the students' other family members have tested negative for COVID. So we give thanks to the Lord for that. The most important thing is that nobody is sick, that everyone is healthy. And we want everybody to stay healthy. We're all in this together, and we're going to get through it together with God's help. We want to thank you so much for your faithful financial support of Harvest Time. We're about halfway through the summer right now, and we need your help to just carry us through the remaining several weeks of summer. Even though we can't meet in the building this week or next week, we still have to carry all the costs of the building, the mortgage, and all the maintenance on the building. And so if you're working right now and you're receiving a paycheck, we want to thank you for being faithful to the tithe. We want to thank you for remembering your offerings to our missionaries, especially. This week, I'm going to be sending out a special letter to our whole congregation. There's a need on my heart, and we want to ask for your help. You recall our friends, Pastor Solomon and Pinky, in New Delhi, India. Pastor Solomon and Pinky not only pastor a church, but they're involved in very, very special rescue work. With working with young girls. And through this entire, India has been hit terribly hard by this pandemic. Pastor Solomon has lost several people in his congregation to COVID, and they've been shut down far worse than we've been shut down. And they need our help. They need our financial help. And so I'm going to be sending a letter this week and asking everyone if you would share an offering for Pastor Solomon and Pinky and for the rescue work that they're doing and they're sustaining. And there'll be details in the letter, so I just want to ask you to look out for that with us. You can give to Harvest Time anytime on the web, htchurch.com. Click the giving link at the top of the homepage. You can give by text, by texting htchurch to 73256. Or you can mail in an offering at any time, and we just thank you so much for that. 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 1 this morning, and we want to talk for a few minutes about help in troubled time. Help in troubled time. 2 Kings 4, and beginning in verse 1. I should mention before we read, if you're watching online and you would like a link to the sermon outline for today, there is a PDF link in the chat section of the live stream. You can click on that link. You can download the PDF, and you can follow along our sermon that way today. 2 Kings chapter 4, reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know how he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small flask of oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay all your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left." Let's talk about finding help in troubled times. Right now, we're talking about how God uses little things in very big ways. Today, let's talk about how God used a very little bit of olive oil to help a needy widow in big ways. Looking at her story, let's share about how to find help in troubled times. How to find help in troubled times. First of all, in troubled times, turn to God's word. In troubled times, turn to God's word. The prophet Elisha ministered to the northern kingdom of Israel in troubled times. King Jehoram, the son of wicked Ahab and Jezebel, worshiped idols instead of the one true God. And because of that, God removed his blessing from Israel. Instead of peace, there was unrest and disorder. Instead of prosperity, there was economic hardship and suffering. You know, whenever a society turns its back on God, his blessings on that society dry up. Right now, there is a movement of Marxists, globalists, secular humanists, Islamists, and morally bankrupt people that are working together to erase America's Christian heritage and move America off of our Christian foundation. You know, ironically, some prominent atheist sociologists have started speaking out. Even though they themselves are not people of faith, they're warning that the Western world cannot survive without Christianity. The peace and prosperity that we freely enjoy, that's the envy of the whole world, is the direct result of Christianity, Christian faith, Christian ethics, Christian morals, Christian values. Christianity did not originate with Caucasian European people, not at all. Christianity came from Jews in the Middle East, but the Western world embraced Christianity and they got blessed because of it. If Christianity disappears, so will America's peace and prosperity. You know, 2020 has already given us a bitter taste of that, and I've had enough of a sample. I don't know about you. In the second half of 2020, we need to pray for America like we have never prayed before. On September 26th, there's a prayer meeting on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. We have two Sprinter vans. Maybe we can pool some minivans together. And I would love to take a good group from HTC to go pray with other believers for the future of our country. 2 Kings chapter 4 opens with a woman in trouble, a prophet's widow, whose husband died, leaving her deep in debt. In the ancient world, if a family couldn't repay their debt, the family members would be forced into indentured servitude until the debt was paid. Such arrangements still exist in the world today. The creditors were coming to collect the widow's two sons and probably even the widow herself. So what did she do? She turned to the Word of God for guidance. She went to the prophet Elisha, who spoke authoritatively on God's behalf. When we're in trouble, the Word is still the place to turn. The Word assures us that God cares for us very personally. There's a beautiful picture in the ministry of Elisha. In the middle of a national crisis, God saw the pain and the struggle of individuals, and God helped them. He saw a poor widow about to lose her boys. God saw a generous couple in Shunem who couldn't conceive a child. He saw a group of Bible school students that didn't have enough food to eat and that lost a borrowed axe. To be sure, God was working on a national reformation in Israel, but at the same time, God was helping individuals. Thank God that He's big enough to address both national needs and individual needs at the same time. Now, this is interesting. According to the Jewish rabbis, this woman was the widow of the prophet Obadiah, mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 18. Obadiah was the royal steward to wicked King Ahab. When Jezebel was murdering the prophets of Yahweh, Obadiah hid 100 prophets in 2 caves, and he fed them on his own dime. According to the rabbis, the debt that this widow was left holding was from money that Obadiah borrowed to feed the prophets, and according to the rabbis, the creditor was none other than King Jehoram. You see, as a palace official, it would make sense that Obadiah had borrowed money from the king. The king didn't care about the widow's personal pain and her loss. He didn't care about her husband's years of faithful service to his father Ahab. He didn't care that it was Obadiah who was instrumental in locating Elijah and bringing an end to the drought that caused an economic recession. He didn't care about this widow's plight. He didn't care about her family's future. To him, she was just another statistic. She was collateral damage in troubled times. She was an unfortunate victim of circumstance. Can I tell you that human society and human governments are precisely that way? Oh well, another job lost, another family evicted, another business shuttered, another dream denied, another life extinguished. But God's word assures us that God is not that way. In troubled times, you are not just a statistic to God. In troubled times, you are not just collateral damage. You are not just another unfortunate victim. In troubled times, God sees you and He cares. He sees your personal pain. In fact, the New Testament book of Hebrews tells us that God not only sees our pain, He also feels our pain. He deeply cares about our losses. He has compassion on our plight. He's personally concerned about your future and your kids' future. Job cried out, "He knows exactly where I'm at on life's road, and when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." When we're in trouble, the Word is still the place to turn. I like this part. This is good preaching right here. The Word invites us to articulate our requests to God. The Word invites us to articulate our requests to God. The widow turns to Elisha for a word from the Lord. She explains her plight, and I like what Elisha says to her. He says, "How can I help you?" Listen, this is good preaching right here. There's a big difference between telling God your problem and asking God specifically for His help. That's good right there. It's so good you have to hear it again to realize how good it is. There is a big difference between telling God your problem and specifically asking for His help. The strategy that was employed by Elisha here was also used by Jesus. How can I help you? Jesus met a paralytic man beside a pool, rumored to have healing powers. Jesus asked the man, "Do you want to get well?" A blind man cried out to Jesus. Jesus stopped in his tracks and he asked the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" It was obvious, wasn't it? The man was blind. Was Jesus being cruel? Was he toying with that man? No, not at all. You see, there is a big difference between saying, "Lord, I'm blind," and saying, "Lord, I want to see." Jesus wanted the blind man to articulate his request. He wanted the man to ask for the impossible thing. You see, just the act of articulating our request to God begins to stir faith in our hearts. It's an acknowledgement that the thing that we're requesting is not impossible for him. It is within the realm of his capabilities. That's good right there. St. Paul wrote, "Don't be anxious for anything, but in every situation, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving," listen, "let your requests be known to God." The secret to not being anxious about anything is to pray about everything, making specific requests to God. And I feel like I need to finish that verse for somebody, especially today. And after you've prayed, Paul goes on to say, "The peace of God that passes understanding will fill your heart and fill your mind." Do you want to get well? "Lord, I want to walk." "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see." "How can I help you?" "Elisha, I need money to repay my debt and to support myself and my two boys until they're grown men." "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want you to heal my body." "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want you to touch my son. He needs it right now." "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want you to help us send our kids to college without burying either ourselves or them in school debt." "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want you to help us pay off this Mongo HTC mortgage so that we can do some serious damage to the enemy's kingdom here at home and all over the world through the gospel. And Lord, I have to confess on the side, it would bring me great pleasure to deprive the assemblies of God from the obscene interest that they're charging us." What do you want me to do for you? Somebody receive it today. God is inviting you to articulate your request to him. When we're in trouble, the word is still the place to turn. The word elevates our expectations. We'll get to the widow's oil in just one moment, but Elisha tells the widow to go around town and borrow empty jars, and I love what he says to her, "Not just a few." God's word through Elisha raises her expectations that God is about to do something very big, and God's word raises our expectations the same way. Something we learn about God in the Word is that he is not the God of barely enough. He is the God of more than enough. When a young wedding couple ran out of wine toward the end of their reception, Jesus made them 1,000 gallons of the finest wine. When a hungry crowd needed food, Jesus fed them until they were all satisfied and there were 12 baskets of leftovers. You know, that's how you know Jesus was at least a little bit Italian. Everybody left the party with a dish of food to take home. When the disciples needed fish, Jesus filled their nets so full that their nets began to break and their boats began to sink. You see, that's the kind of blessing God that he is. He is a net breaking, boat sinking, more than enough kind of a God. St. Paul wrote that he's the God who does exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or what we could even imagine in our wildest dreams. Feel like I have a word for somebody today. Don't expect God to do just enough. Expect God to do more than enough. You know, my prayer for HTC Church and my prayer for you as an individual is that God will help us all to emerge from this shutdown stronger than we went into the shutdown. My prayer is that we would emerge wiser, that we would emerge more strategic, more efficient, more productive, more profitable, in better shape, with new skills. My prayer is that we would emerge financially stronger than we went in. You know, if God can give Isaac a 100-fold return in a drought, then why can't God bless us even in a pandemic? How to find help in troubled times. First, turn to God's word. Second, I like this part. In troubled times, choose obedience over relevance. In troubled times, choose obedience over relevance. You know, some people wonder whether a book written thousands of years ago is really still relevant in the modern world. Well, let me say, at one level, the Bible is relevant the same way that many great ancient works of literature are still relevant. For all of our advances in technology and in medicine and in science, you know, human beings haven't changed very much in thousands of years. We still wrestle with the very same problems that people have always wrestled with. But I want to say, far beyond that, because it is the Word of God, the Bible is timelessly true and trustworthy and operative. It benefits all people in all places, in all times. But sometimes God directs us to do things that are totally counterintuitive. Sometimes his instructions don't seem relevant to the moment, nor to the need at hand. This widow is over her head in bad debt, and the prophet tells her to go around town and borrow all the empty jars that she can. Now, how on earth is that relevant to the problem? What good is it to fill her empty house with a bunch of empty jars? You see, she needs jars full of something valuable. She's already up to her eyeballs in debt. What good is it to borrow even more from her neighbors? The king's men are on their way to seize her boys, so the boys won't even be around to help her return all those jars to her neighbors. Really, Elisha? How does this help? You know, in those moments, we have to take a step of faith and we have to obey God's word, not because it sounds relevant, but simply because it's God's word. Now, that's good preaching right there. You need to hear that again. We need to obey not because it sounds relevant, but simply because it is God's word. Listen, the word of God wasn't given to us so that we can analyze the logic of God. The word was given to challenge our finite earthbound thinking. To some people, Jesus' unequivocal definition of marriage as being the union for life between one man and one woman doesn't sound relevant in this day and age. Come on, Pastor Glenn, it's 2020. To some people, Jesus' identification of two sexes, male and female, doesn't sound relevant anymore. You know, it doesn't matter how it sounds to us. It's God's word, and obedience to it will bring life and good blessings. Jesus said, haven't you read in the beginning, God made them male and female, and he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, and he will be united to his wife, and they will be one flesh. Let nothing separate those whom God has joined together. To some people, God's prescription that sex is only to be enjoyed within the safety and the security of the beautiful covenant of marriage doesn't sound relevant. Come on, it's 2020. Doesn't matter whether it sounds relevant. It's God's word, and obedience to his word will bring life and blessing. When the wedding couple ran out of wine, Jesus' mother, Mary, enlisted Jesus' help. She looked at the waiters at the wedding and she said, do whatever he tells you to do. Jesus told the waiters to fill some huge jars with water. Now that didn't sound relevant, but somewhere in their midst of their obedience, a miracle unfolded. And Mary's words are still true today. Do whatever he tells you to do, even if it doesn't sound relevant to you. In obedience to God's word, spoken through Elisha, the widow and her boys scurry all over town, and they borrow a very large number of empty jars. She takes her boys inside and she shuts the door. That shows us one thing about obedience. Obedience is mostly lived out in private between you and God. The biggest part of obedience to God is not what happens in the public square, but what happens in the privacy of your own inner world. The biggest part of obedience to God happens in the affections of our heart. The biggest part of obedience to God happens in our inner appetites that we cultivate through indulging them. The biggest part of obedience happens in the attitudes of our heart that we harbor and that we nurture. What happened in the privacy of the widow's home was between God and her boys. You know, I can't help feeling like there's a word for somebody listening today. Especially during this COVID season, God wants to meet you in the privacy of your prayer closet. God wants to meet you in your daily communion with him, reading his word. Prayer meetings are great. Bible studies are great. Growth groups are great. This fall, we're going to offer more of all of those. But God wants to meet with you privately, one-on-one. In Moses' little pup tent of prayer outside of the camp, God talked with Moses face-to-face as a man talks to his friend. The book of Numbers sheds some light on the meaning of that expression. It says that God spoke to Moses plainly, not in symbolic dreams, not in dark sayings or riddles. God wanted the widow to have a one-on-one encounter with him, not an experience mediated through Elisha. And God wants the same for us. He wants to have a personal one-on-one encounter with us. To pay her debt, the widow liquidated everything in her house. Her very last possession was a flask of oil. I'm going to talk about her oil in a moment. But when she picked up that flask of olive oil, it was as if God turned on a spigot. Oil started flowing, not merely from the natural action of pouring out a liquid and gravity pulling it down, but it pushed out of that flask under pressure like water gushes from an open tap. That shows us something else about obedience. Obedience causes whatever is in your hand to become blessed. Obedience transforms the most unlikely things into assets that God can leverage and into weapons that God can mobilize. What's that in your hand, Moses? A staff surrendered to God. That's enough to disgrace the magicians, to defeat Pharaoh, to divide the Red Sea, and to deliver Israel. What's that in your hand, David? A slingshot? Committed to the Lord, that's enough to slay a giant and secure a watershed win for Israel. What's that in your hand, widow of Zarephath? A cup of flour and a tablespoon of oil offered to the Lord's servant? That is enough for the three of you to last for 3 years of famine. What's that in your hand, young boy? Some barley rolls and a few small fish offered to Jesus? That's enough to feed a crowd of 20,000 or more. Obedience transformed a trumpet and a torch and a voice into weapons that secured Gideon's victory. Obedience transformed a little flask of EVOO, extra virgin olive oil, into an asset that secured the widow's financial security and independence. In the original Hebrew language, the scene in 2 Kings 4, verse 5, is frenetic. Elisha told the widow ahead of time to have those boys ready to move those jars once the oil started flowing. As fast as one jar filled up with oil, they yanked it and they put another one in its place. When all the jars were full to the brim, God turned off the tap. That shows us something else about obedience. This is good right here. Obedience enables us to assemble structures and develop systems that God can fill with blessing. That's good. Obedience enables us to assemble structures and to develop systems that God can fill with blessing. What were the empty jars? They were structures assembled in advance to receive and to retain the blessing. What was Elisha's instruction to the two boys? It was a system for maximizing the blessing. Can I tell you, sometimes the reason we don't see more of God's blessings is because we haven't assembled the structures to receive and retain them, nor have we developed the systems to maximize his blessings. God can't entrust us with more until we're prepared to manage it and use it wisely. The New Testament book of James says you ask God for blessings, but you don't receive because you would just waste them selfishly. The stories in the Bible are not about human heroes. Every story in the Bible is really about God as he is revealed in his interactions with people. This story is no different. In the story of the widow's oil, we learn a lot about God. He's very personal. He interacts with us intimately. He's compassionate. God is just. He cares about widows and orphans. He cares about those in need. God is faithful to those who are faithful to him. Also, we learn from this story, God is very strategic and practical and efficient. Yes, God blesses us with more than enough, but God is never wasteful. When Jesus made 1,000 gallons of wine, he made it in stone jars that were already sterilized and fit for storage. When Jesus fed a huge crowd with more than enough, he told the disciples, "Go pick up all the leftovers. Be sure nothing is wasted." When the widow's jars were full, the oil stopped flowing. Can I tell you, the only thing holding back more blessing from our lives is our capacity to receive it and to retain it and to maximize it and manage it wisely. Here's what I know. I know that God asks us to assemble this structure. God asks us to build this sanctuary for an outpouring that is coming, and it's coming quickly. In 2019, the Lord helped us to begin developing new systems to manage the incoming flow. Believe, belong, and be light. God is about to turn on the tap, and he's going to start filling this place for blessings. About 3 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit said to me crystal clear, he said, "People are coming. This fall, they're coming. We've already seen it, and we're going to see more." How to find help in troubled times. Number one, turn to God's word. Number two, choose obedience over relevance. Finally, this, let's finish up the story. In troubled times, follow God's prescription for financial peace. In troubled times, follow God's prescription for financial peace. As we come to a close, there's something you need to know about the widow's oil. In Hebrew, it says that all the widow had left in her house was, listen, an anointing of oil. In your English Bible, it says a jar of oil, but in Hebrew, it says she had an anointing of oil. What she had left was the flask of prophet's oil that belonged to her husband. She liquidated everything else she had, but she saved that flask of oil because it was sacred. It was dedicated to the Lord for the Lord's work. By the way, you should know that anointing oil was the purest, most valuable, first cold pressed, extra, extra virgin olive oil. That oil would fetch the highest price at market. The widow runs to Elisha and she tells him what has happened. And Elisha tells her this. go sell the oil, pay off your debts, and live on the rest. That gives you an indication of how many jars she collected. She had assembled enough jars to secure her son's financial future. But listen, from this widow, we have a prescription for financial peace, even in a pandemic. Give God your best, pay off your debts, and live on the rest. Give God your best, pay off your debts, and live on the rest. Just like that flask of holy anointing oil, the tithe, the first 10% of what we earn and what we own belongs to the Lord. The Bible says it is sacred to the Lord. It is dedicated to the Lord. It's devoted to His work. And when, like the widow, we refuse to touch the tithe for ourselves, we give something God to work with. When we offer it to the Lord, we give Him something that He can use to bless us. Here's what you need to know about God's economy. God's economy is always growing. The world's economies expand and they contract, but God's economy is ever expanding. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Listen, for those of you that are in the markets, in Wall Street, in equities, listen, here's a word from the Lord. It is always, always a bull market in the kingdom of heaven. And when we refuse to touch the tithe, but we offer it to the Lord as sacred, we start participating in that ever-expanding economy of heaven. After the big market collapse of 2008, I was watching an interview between Barbara Walters and Rush Limbaugh. Barbara Walters asked Rush his thoughts on the current recession. And Rush said to her, "What recession?" Barbara Walters was shocked. She said, "You don't know there's a recession going on?" I love his answer. He said, "Oh yeah, I know." He said, "I just choose not to participate in it." Oh, that's so good right there. Listen, every time you go online to htchurch.com and you offer your tithe to the Lord, you're saying, "I choose not to participate in this pandemic economy. I choose not to ride the economic roller coaster year in and year out. I choose the ever-expanding, ever-blessed economy of the kingdom of heaven." Most Americans today do the opposite of God's prescription. We live off of the best, we rack up debt, and we offer God whatever is left over. But if we'll just flip that, if we'll just give God our best, pay off our debt, and live on the rest, then we can experience God's supernatural blessings and long-term financial security in the Lord. God invites us in His Word to test Him on that and to see. How do we find help in troubled times? Turn to God's Word, choose obedience over relevance, and follow His prescription for financial peace. Caleb, Kayla, and the worship team are going to sing for us one more time, and then we're going to finish with a word of prayer today.
Turn His face toward you.
And just put them over your heart this morning. And I just want to pray for you. Father, we thank you that your word says God is my refuge and God is my strength, a very present help in times of trouble. God is my defensive help when I need defensive help. God is my offensive help when I need offensive help. God is every kind of help I need exactly the moment that I need it. Father, we thank you that in these troubled times, Lord, we are not just another statistic. We are not just collateral damage. We are not just unfortunate victims. Father, we thank you that you see us. Lord, we thank you that you care. Lord, we thank you that you reach down your hand from heaven to help us, to intervene, Lord, in our needs. Father, I pray that the peace of heaven would just fill our hearts to overflowing as we make our requests made known to you. Lord, I pray that as we taste and see, Lord, that we would experience the beauty and the goodness of the Lord. Father, I pray that you'd be with every member of our HTC family. Lord, we pray for our student who tested positive for COVID. We thank you that that student is not experiencing any symptoms and pray for complete healing. Thank you for safeguarding that student's family. And Lord, thank you for safeguarding our entire HTC family. Lord, thank you for spreading your umbrella of kingdom dominion, kingdom peace, kingdom protection, Lord, kingdom power over our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us all through this week, that the joy of the Lord would just be our strength until we come together again rejoicing. God bless you, everyone. Amen and amen. Have a great week in Jesus.